going on down there?
Hi everyone, this is Vangelis doing an impression of Vangelis in his usual opening candor of energeticness and things. I'm doing this in honor of Seth, who couldn't be here today, but we're here to talk to you today about Human Error Part 1, the newest Transformers animated episode. As per the new format, we're not going to go through and meticulously dissect the episode and talk about bits of it. However, I do realize some people like recaps, so I've got the spoiler disclaimer guy to do me up a recap for you. And here it is.
Optimus Prime patrols the city on Christmas Eve, lamenting the sales of Soundwave toys by Porter C. Powell, who has held on to the design rights. Prime then sees a rogue Soundwave and chases after it. After a spectacular failure to capture it, he heads back to the base where Sari is preparing oil nog for her robotic friends. Another Soundwave quietly bursts from one of the Autobots' wrapped gifts and spikes the oil nog, which causes the Autobots to tire and soon pass out. When they awaken, they are human, and Sari is out of contact. Sari herself is spending Christmas with her father, who spins her a transforming super jetpack, along with a Soundwave toy. Frustrated, she heads back to the Autobot base. The human Autobots get hungry and dine at Burgerbot, shortly before a mass Decepticon attack decimates Detroit. Optimus Ratchet and Prowl save her family from a burning building, but then find themselves facing down the still robotic Starscream. At the Autobot base, Sari discovers Laser Beak and a small squad of hostile autonomous Soundwave toys. Shocked at the sight of Cybertron itself approaching Earth and destroying some Death Tower, the Autobots face down Megatron and the Decepticons. During their flight, the Autobots realize they are in some sort of virtual reality and subdue the artificial Decepticons. Sari discovers an elevator leading to an underground facility beneath the Autobot base, where she finds Soundwave and the captive Autobots prone and hooked up to his virtual reality machinery. The Autobots revert their virtual selves back into robot form, but then find themselves in the clutches of a giant white Soundwave. Sari attempts to stop Soundwave, but a riff from the Laser Beak guitar sends her into retreat. Soundwave then begins to play the Rat Pack guitar, reprogramming the Autobots and leading us into a cliffhanger.
Wow, that was fun! We all sat here and just listened to it. Anyway, with me today is a grand crowd of five other strapping young chaps. They include Aaron.
Hello.
Kick Back.
What's going on?
Gog Dog. Lou Piss.
There's no hypothetical situation today, right?
Perhaps. Right? Perhaps. And Omegas.
Okay, hypothetical situation.
Gah!
Not yet.
Okay.
They're on a hypothetical situation. No. You're on a podcast recording. What do you do? Human Error aired very recently, and I'm actually a little interested to see the second part because I'm probably going to see it at TFCon, which is going to be strange. But it was a very neat episode, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. So just like last time, I'm just going to call a name, take a point about the episode you like, drop it on us. Well, that you like or dislike, drop it on us, and then we'll discuss it a bit. So let's start with Omegas.
Okay, I get my favorite one out of the way first. Laserbeak.
Oh yeah, that was neat.
Laserbeak and Ratbat were here finally.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Ratbat.
Yeah, you couldn't even tell it was him. It's just okay. Oh, it's his head. Oh wait, what?
It's the Keytar.
The Keytar. Yeah.
Soundwave is rocking the 80s.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in this episode like that they just kind of passively kind of put off. You know, just things they didn't explain, like I don't know where Soundwave is able to create a functioning laser beak.
Mm.
I also don't know where the Autobots thought, well, It was a dream sequence, but they didn't find anything wrong with the fact that they all had equipment that was sized for humans.
Yeah. I think a lot of it was kind of, you just take it as it comes, and actually, I found it was hard to watch the episode from the right perspective, because I went in kind of knowing that it was there in a dream sequence sort of thing. And I was wondering if maybe there was a different experience there if someone went in to see the episode without knowing that bit beforehand.
Maybe it just chalks up to the fact that, you know, when you're dreaming, the weird things that when you wake up in the morning, you go, wow, that was kind of messed up. In the middle of the dream, you don't.
Yeah, you're like, that's
disconnect.
Totally normal to have, like.
Yeah, I'll just jump on the flying monkey to make it to work, what?
Yeah,
right.
I got tons of, you know, giant bug people standing at the edge of my bed all the time. It's perfectly normal.
Okay, we don't need to hear those dreams.
Why not?
No more insectoid bipeds, please.
Because we'll have to change the rating of the podcast.
Yay! Hey, did Laserbeak get named? That's something I couldn't remember.
No,
yes,
he did not.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
yes,
oh
he
yeah.
Did. He said Laserbeak deploy operation. Yep.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
I remember now. That was something I was wondering about.
Ratbat was the one I don't think got named.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, because I think that it's a thing about with the homages that I think I had this with Predacons Rising as well. There's this very tricky kind of line to walk where if you take the homages too far and the unspoken things are obvious to the fans, they can actually make things kind of confusing for the non-hardcores. But I thought it was a pretty cool thing seeing the guitar and everything. I totally had a Mike Saunders Gowgigar moment. So I respect that. Kickback.
All right. As far as what I thought was cool and what I liked in the episode, I liked that it was Christmas. That was just kind of completely random and just obscure. It's, you know, the rest of the world, or I guess in our country here in the United States and Canada.
Well, it was pointed at the lower hemisphere, I guess.
I was gonna say it's winter there, but it's supposed to be Detroit. But so they're having Christmas. I thought that was just kind of random. I just like the overall theme of the feeling that they kind of threw it back to that episode from G1, the Only Human episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a neat thing for them to do, and obviously plenty of fangirls seem to enjoy the episode quite a bit, as per the discussion threads are just blowing up right now on the boards about the episode.
Oh, really?
But yeah, if you actually look in the animated form, you'll see that there's like, at one point, there was 8 or 9 threads about talking about various characters and how incredibly sexy they are.
Rule 34!
Oh, God.
And then I also like even though it was just a montage, just real quick, I liked seeing Stryka and Oil Slick and Spitor and, you know, walking down the street.
Yeah.
As Cybertron gets pulled up to the Earth, kind of like in another G1 episode.
Ultimate Doom! Kinda.
Ultimate Doom, that's right.
Yep.
And the only thing I really didn't like about the episode is just the scene where Optimus Prime in human form decides to smack Megatron around with his own arm. Just like
scale
I liked it
went out
for the idea.
There.
Yeah, the scale went out a window in the animation. It looked like they were just like, huh? But other than that, it was a good episode. I'm looking forward to part 2.
Yeah, the arm swing was a bit odd. I thought it was made up for, though, by the little sequence of Megatron's own cannon blowing up, because there was a nice kind of intensity to that. Made me forget about the craziness of the arm swing, or when Starscream turned into, you know, the C-Team Starscream model, where his chest is kind of enormous and his wings shrink. I think it was one of the scenes out in the street where he was shooting at the cars or something like that. I was like, oh no! It's the Korean team's model. Hey, Aaron.
Yes.
Drop some.
I liked during the dream sequence to get back to being robots. This was yet another place where my wife was watching it, and she burst out laughing and had to go back and watch again. Was Bulkhead changing back? Everybody else kind of did the mind over matter thing. Prowl levitates and bwop. Everybody else transforms and, you know, little Bulky can't quite get it. And they're like, no, you gotta go, it'll help. And then he does that.
Several times.
The jaw and the forehead come around the human-looking face and transform it. It's definitely a good, solid comedy moment to go with all of that. And as far as the higher concept thing, Soundwave's been busy.
Yeah, just a little bit.
To conveniently build that basement hideout right underneath the Autobots' base. He's been working it for a while.
Yeah, I figured that he took it kind of personal, getting punched in the stomach and blown up. But I was a little surprised to see that, like, that elevator and everything. I was wondering if that was supposed to be something the Autobots put in place that we hadn't learned about yet. But it was, kind of surprising. Huge tunnel. Lupus, what about you?
I think the something that stood out for me was when they were at the burger joint, they look up and they see that whole armada of jets coming in, and if you freeze it, you can see not only Lugnut, but Atomic Lugnut there.
Yes!
That was just
Gozo.
Were you the one who pointed that out?
Yes, I was.
Yeah! Because I had to go back and take a look.
Yes, I am.
We got in there somehow.
Of course, and now all those people that are saying, "Oh, well, I was only going to buy the ones that show up in the episodes." bam, no excuse, drop that $20, go out and get them.
Welcome.
Save that shelf warmer. Well, 25 now, sorry.
I was going to say.
You buy them new. Yeah,
that was like a Generation 1 Seeker scene where you just see like 10 of them flying by and just...
And that's where Acid Storm came from.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it was nice to see, like, you know, for the filler, they just used the repaints. I thought that was a nice touch. And although, you know, I certainly didn't go back. Me and people like me and Gog, we don't frame by frame anything. Show West! But, yeah, it was interesting. And also seeing Shockwave have his laser gun out, even if it was a dream scene. I think that's the first time we've seen him with his toy's laser cannon being held as a laser cannon.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Was he blue or purple?
He was gray.
He was long arm colored.
Yeah,
just long arm.
But yeah, he had his gun on his left arm. He was blowing stuff up.
Yep, he was getting all Godzilla. Mm-hmm.
The thing that I didn't get is if it was a dream sequence, how come Stryker and the rest of the team was there if they hadn't come across those characters before?
Yeah, especially if it was Soundwave's virtual world. I mean, I wouldn't think he'd know any of them.
Maybe Soundwave's been in touch with them the whole time. You know, because he's
dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. It seemed like a possibility. Yeah, that did cross my mind immediately. It's like, where is Soundwave getting his facts from? But I'm thinking that if he created it, he probably or may have been in touch with the Decepticon uprising, since he didn't like perish at the end of his episode. He just got a little bit shrunken down and clearly has built himself back up since then.
Maybe base level programming from Megatron.
And Megatron's like, by the way, there's this foursome of awesome people and I got this cool spy guy. I'm just going to tell you now. Anyway, go out and fight. Gog, what about you?
Prowl, even in human form, retains his hippiness. Refuses to eat any meat whatsoever. So, continuity.
I like that Prowl's a vegan.
Yep.
Burns more efficiently.
Because it burns cleaner.
Yeah.
Burns cleaner.
Which, again, that led to another thing where I started trying to fill in the blanks, right? How did Bulkhead know what to do when he had his sudden spurt of, crap, I just ate 15 hamburgers and have to go hit the can? Like,
a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And what would it have...
Well, no, but it's odd, though, because if you want to say a lot of TV, I mean, that was one of my other little notes that I had written down, is that Autobots have no idea about human physiology, you know? It's the whole, you know, oh, I think our fuel tanks are running low. Well, say you're hungry. Surely you've been around humans enough to differentiate.
I was starting to fill in the blanks, just wondering, like, even if Bulkhead, you know, like, if he did manage to figure out how to use the can, and that feeling of vacating his own stomach, like, what would that have felt like, given that he'd never done that before? Like, wouldn't he come back going, like, I just had the most crazy experience?
Well, here's the thing with that, though. They were never really human, so it was just thoughts being pushed into their head. So
I guess.
They may have never really experienced what it was like to be human in reality, just what, you know, it was just sensations being pushed into their brains.
I admit, I also just kind of got hung up on it because it was poop humor. And
maybe they thought it was a transmission flush.
I'm a highbrow like that.
Scarier thing is, what if he didn't figure out what to do?
He comes back.
I can't fit in there. What's that one on the wall? Oh, no.
Goes into the kitchen. Deep fryer. I had something that I wanted to drop was that I wanted to drop. Oh, deuce!
The poop humor.
The floating Prowl, where Prowl turns into Neo from the Matrix and becomes one with the virtual world within about 15 minutes. I thought was hilarious because it was a nice little way to carry across the whole thing of Prowl is a lot like ever since he got the armor, he also kind of seemed to become more in tune with his mind over processor. So sticking someone like him into a virtual world was actually I guess not a mistake because Soundwave couldn't have known about it, but that was, I think, the oversight was that, oh, by the way, one of these guys is so in tune with his own mental processors, he can make things levitate in real life. So you stick him in a virtual world, and he's going to turn the entire thing into his own playground. I thought it was a neat bit of imagery seeing Prowl floating around all kind of, you know, holy and stuff like that. I was like, yay, allegory. But I did enjoy that because I was hoping that it wouldn't be a case of, you know, they spend the entire episode going like, oh God, we're human and useless. I liked how they actually kind of manned up within about 10 or 15 minutes and just went out and were badasses despite being human. That's how I felt anyway.
That was really cool. Just Prowl turned into an anime villain at one point there. Just floating around, arms out, staring everyone down.
Yep.
And I like how he matched his hologram.
Yes,
that was a nice little touch.
And I don't know. I also found him a lot more amusing just because of the mustache. For some reason, like a vegan hippie in tune with himself guy who also happens to be a police officer with a big stash, formed this kind of clump of concepts that didn't really go together in my head, but still worked. I don't know, though. I mean, I'm oddly distracted by something off screen. I'm not sure what it is.
I can't imagine.
Let's
some deck doing the sound wave dance.
Yeah, let's cover that. the most collector aimed component of the episode. We get to see some deck shake his butt.
So Powell's still around and selling off the toy sound waves for just $19.95.
Knockoffs.
And that also
why you do
off,
it?
It's cheaper than Hasbro's reissue.
And theirs didn't dance.
And this also wipes off yet another piece of spoiler imagery. We also got to see creepy eye patch kid
yes.
in the dream sequence.
Cancer. Yes, and also was that Kamina sitting next to him?
Was it?
Yeah, he had Kamina shades.
That's awesome. They finally stuck him in, and in a Soundwave episode. Ooh, I wonder if that was supposed to... You see, when I saw him, I was like, okay, we saw him on the spoiler sheet in another pose. I wonder if this is a cameo, or I wonder if he's supposed to be someone. And I wasn't sure. But, what do we have left? The Energon Popsicle, I think, is what we have left off that spoiler sheet, and the rat?
No, we saw the rat.
We saw the rat.
That was
yeah.
Beast Wars.
We saw
yeah.
the rat.
Oh, yeah.
So the Energon Popsicle, that's the big spoiler of the series now. What does it mean?
Wait a second. Was that also Marty in there? Sorry, I'm going back and looking at the that scene.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There was the kid. Yep, there was the kid, Marty Eisenberg, and then Kamina from Gurren Lagann.
Wow. That's awesome.
Three random yep. cameos ever.
Well, this would be the second cameo that I believe would come about as a result of the feedback on season one and two of, like, oh my god, Gurren Lagann reference! And them going like, well, no, but we'd like to. let's do another run-through of you guys to drop some more points. Let's start at the top this time with Aaron.
Yeah, I don't know. I just burnt through it with that last one. Jeez.
Ah!
How about Prowl playing peekaboo with the baby with the creepy eyes?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, that was. That was a good touch into, hey, it's cool to be human. And it cuts to the baby with the creepy one-color eyes.
Fleischer eyes. Yeah, I thought that was neat. At first, I was also confused because I couldn't tell what Prowl was doing, and I thought he'd actually lost his mind. I didn't immediately catch on that he was talking or peekabooing at anyone. I thought he was just going like, ha, I'm a human, peekaboo. Oh, peekaboo, ha, 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 ha. Salad. But that was quite
Did you guys see Optimus's face while he was looking at the baby? He looked absolutely disgusted.
No, I didn't notice that.
He was like, I'm going to step on it.
It's like, ah, children. So malformed and tiny. Yeah, that was an interesting part. Gog.
Oh, I was a little distracted there for a second. Sorry, Scooter.
Sorry, Scooter, yes.
Yes.
It was from the promo
yep.
way
finally
the hell
got
back.
It.
Yep, yep. It only took her reaching puberty and reaching season 3, but she finally got her transforming jetpack Scooter.
And now it's orange, too.
So. Yeah. So it matched nicely with her pretender mode, but
mm-hmm. Well, she's not a pretender so. Now she's an action master. she is a transorganic okay. action master. There are fanboys crying and screaming right now.
Rule 34. She also did a lot during this episode, which I was happy about, because she didn't just show up on the peripheral to go like, oh, by the way, Sari's not dead, but she was all getting into it. She was like walking down the hallway with a Hadouken in her hand, going like, I'm going to do something about this. So it was nice to see her taking the proactive role that we'd all been expecting. Everyone's like, I don't care about Sari.
it's definitely setting her up to be the hero for part two.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But
I want to see what she does in episode two, and I want to see the reaction that the fans have, because we've now hit this, as we mentioned before, this incredible kind of rotating kind of platform we're on of like, we don't know what, like, people don't know whether they want more Sari, or if it's too much Sari, or if Sari's cool now, or if it's great we haven't seen her for a while, but now it's like, but where is she? So, I'm enjoying that aspect of this entire season, actually. The confusion laid on the fan base as to whether or not they want the human character around. But, personally, I do. I'm also feeling kind of lucky. Lupus, are you feeling lucky?
I'm feeling very lucky.
Tell me why you're feeling lucky.
Okay, I noticed that because I'm a geek and I will sit there and press pause and go frame by frame. We've got the burger scene with, what's her name? Spike's girlfriend, Carly.
Oh, yeah.
And the new baby. Yeah. Okay, so they're in the burger joint. Daniel and Spike are stuck riding the bus. Wait, where's Bumblebee in all this? Or, you know, Hot Rod or Minerva or somebody.
This is what would happen if they'd never met the Transformers. The son and father would bond on the bus while the wife would take the baby to McDonald's.
While everyone's making fun of their clothes.
Exactly.
Jeez. No, you're missing the point here. There's an entire progression here that we went from just seeing the normal family to the new baby, and now they're at the divorce because they're Spike and Daniel stuck on the taking the bus everywhere because Carly got the car, you know.
And Carly just she had to leave them both because she was tired of them talking about how they're going to build exosuits.
Tired of Grimlock stomping around.
but
really, what type of burger joints open on Christmas Day?
A really
sad. It has to be a dream.
With workers who are very, very upset.
Yes.
But yeah, that actually, I was kind of surprised to see the burger bot, because in Transwarped, it got completely flattened by the headmaster.
I guess that was the clue that they were in a dream world.
Well, there were two burger bots.
Yeah, it's supposed to be McDonald's. There's one on every corner.
Right, there's another one down the street.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, it completely went over my head, the fact that none of this is real. So, yeah, that was actually a pretty cool little background little hint that it wasn't real. Yeah,
it's a cartoon. Good point.
No, it isn't.
Lies.
It's a franchise.
Hey, Kickback, have you got another point about the episode you'd like to talk about?
I'll just hit on a couple things real quick. The continuity inside... Well, I'm going to hit on that later. But, no, the continuity inside the Autobot base, if you actually pause it, as Sari's sitting there freaking out trying to find the Autobots, you can see all the little, you know, nicks and knacks from the last two seasons worth. You got the little machine area where they did the workout when Sari was trying to... I think it was Rise of the Constructicons.
Oh, yeah.
Or no... Sorry, No One's Home. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
When they bust in and she's on that little treadmill-looking thing. And they have all the little machines and so forth that were used in, you know, I forget what the episode name from season one where Megatron takes over their machinery and it goes haywire on them.
Yeah, the one where Prowl, like, loses the loneriness, whatever it was, right after the pilot.
My only question is, and I can't recall if we talked about it earlier, so I apologize, but what's up with, magically there's an Autobot symbol in the base that has an elevator shaft.
Oh, yeah.
That goes downstairs, and then Soundwave's just, like, chilling down there? Is that something they built and didn't tell her about? Or is that something that Soundwave built and just...
Yeah, that's what I mentioned before. When I saw that, I was wondering if it was supposed to be an Autobot-built thing that we hadn't known about yet, or if Soundwave was just unbelievably clever and quiet and had built an elevator in their base without them noticing.
Didn't she access it using, like, the control panel, though?
Oh, yeah. That's all. Well,
like, she pushed a couple buttons and stepped on the elevator. She's like, oh, look, elevator.
She did see a bunch of sound waves come up and Laserbeak come up out of it, so I'm guessing she just used all spark powers.
Yeah. And wave.
She walked over and went, like, I got a key in me, and pushed buttons, and then the elevator worked. Maybe there's only one button, and she just pushed it a bunch of times. I don't know. I'm making up excuses at this point.
It's, you know, Deus Ex Machina power.
Omegas, have you got another point you'd like to drop?
The apparent cameo of the gigantic music label Soundwave.
It took me a while to figure out who that was, and then someone told me, and I was like, oh, you're right!
Just absolutely random. I understand the whole... It was just weird being able to say, I understand the gigantic sound wave. and dropping the movie line, no less.
Yeah. Well, that was a nice homage.
I hope there's some rationale to the fact that he's a gigantic white sound wave.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that if that shows up, we also get to see him show up as electrostatic sound wave. It's like, if you're going to have a sound wave repaint show up, have the toy one show up. Like, maybe he shows up white like that until they corrupt the program, and then he turns, like, all electrostatic and whips out Ratbat and goes, like, death metal, and has the rock out.
Well, there's some people speculating that trying to reprogram the Autobots into Decepticons might make them go shattered glass.
Oh,
so that might
be cool.
That might be the contrast. You know, because in the dream world, he's in his shattered glass colors.
This is like layers of homaging now. This is starting to confuse me. I mean, not in a bad way. I like being confused like this. It's kind of hot. But, yeah. The music label Soundwave, when that hand first came up, I was like... I don't know. I actually felt like I'd missed something. Like, I know that's supposed to make me excited, but I don't know why. So I had to have that explained to me. Yeah, I hope that we get to see Electrostatic as well. Because, I don't know. It just feels odd to see a recolor in the show. And then when the toy has a recolor, the show one isn't what that recolor is.
I don't know.
Always strikes me
as kind
of... A little
cheated.
Yeah, I always feel like, oh man, come on. Like Elite Guard Bumblebee, for instance. I wish that was Wasp. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if I have anything to drop. The other thing I think I could drop about the episode was... Is, oh my god, robot violence as Dream World Decepticons get, like, brutalized by the little human Autobots. like poor Blitzwing. He gets a hole run through his leg, and then Bumblebee smacks his face around, like, until, like, I don't know, I'm guessing off-screen his head flew off or something awesome like that. But, yeah, it was pretty intense, and Megatron got his arm ripped off, and then his cannon blown up. So the action levels on it, again, it's like even for an episode that's not all together too dark, they kind of upped the levels of robo-gore that we were able to see. Which is something I'm very much behind. So I think it's something that's doable with robots more so than with any other kind of medium. The insane, crazy physical violence.
Yeah, I don't think you get away with ripping off Sumdac's arm and beating anyone with it.
Yeah, it wouldn't work quite as well.
Not really.
But, I don't know, it's also nice because it means that when your toys break, you can kind of make it like a show-accurate action feature, too.
That was me playing as a kid. If I broke them or damaged it, battle damage.
Battle damage! Oh, there was one other thing we could talk about on the episode, which is Sari versus Soundwave. Which I'm guessing it might get revisited in the next part, but what did you guys think of Sari trying to take on Soundwave?
took a nice chunk out of him.
Yeah. And then she got totally, like, blitzed.
Just that one strum on Laserbeak there.
Yeah, it was, and she got up, and people on the message boards, not necessarily ours, but on some message boards did say, "Wow, she got up rubbing her chest. That was kind of hot."
Oh my God.
Are you sure that wasn't our message board?
It might have been. I didn't check lately.
I missed that thread.
I'll go read that after we're done. I'll reference it in the Human Error episode 2 discussion. Yeah, I guess I'll do one more run through on you guys to see if we got anything else we'd like to drop. I'll go Lupus.
Huh. Well, harkening back to one of our old episodes, Prowl's a ninja. Why is everyone going, "Oh, how could he do that when he's jumping out of the window?" He's a ninja. Duh.
Yeah.
But the whole Jedi thing as well. What's with him chopping off Megatron's arms?
I'm not sure.
I mean, really? Is it like some fetish of his?
He's got the Obi-Wan arm fetish going on that I talked about way back.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
I was actually expecting when he leapt out of the window for him to land and his knees just to go like, and just give out.
Well, okay, so Optimus gets smacked around by Megatron, lands on his back. Ow, my leg is broken. How? Wait, you're...
Well, they don't know human physiology, back, right? Maybe he thought it was his leg and he meant to say his back.
Well, on a transformer...
Well, no, his leg is splinted later.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's because he probably told the EMTs, "My leg is broken," and they did up his leg. And he's like, "No, I meant my leg!"
Well, and they're like, "Well, how's he standing up? His leg was never broken." No, his back was.
He can't actually feel anything from the waist down, but...
Well, see, that's how a transformer works. You know, the servo starts in the back.
Exactly.
You know, that original hydraulic to move the hip.
There you go.
I think I did totally overthink that part there. Omegas, have you got anything left?
Just that I really like the designs that they did for the humans, because we didn't get to see... We saw a few of them previewed, but we didn't get to see them in full color.
Yeah, and it was nice. They actually made Bumblebee look like, for a small kid in a baseball cap, made him look surprisingly like Bumper Robinson.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was impressed by that. I thought they were going to do him up as like a little redheaded like doofus, and I was like, gotta make him Bumper, and he was. And Ratchet had a scar, only this time it was over his eye. Love those little touches like that.
Oh, yeah. And all the jackets and clothes that look they had the exact same deco.
Yeah, and Bulkhead was wearing a shirt underneath his overshirt, so he wasn't just wearing a belly t-shirt like when we were theorizing way back on the images.
Thank God.
So how many fangirls are going to make, like, custom clothes for David K now?
Oh, yeah. Come to our convention.
No. Yeah, I made this for you.
And I hope that they write many, what are they called, doujinshis, or fan-written comic books about situations that may have taken place during Human Error.
God.
Hey, I didn't say anything dirty. You guys have gutter minds. That's all I'm going to say.
No, but you're an enabler.
I am. Rule 34, baby!
I know what you're talking about. I'm imagining if Optimus had a cheeseburger, too. That's all that's going through my head.
Bulkhead, what's this? I don't know. Let's do it together.
Oh, God.
No. Mind bleach.
Hey, Gog Dog, have you got anything left you'd like to talk about on the episode?
I think we pretty much covered it at this point. The only thing that I even thought of that we hadn't mentioned yet was the fact that everywhere they went, they were surrounded by the vehicles of the the all roads that they chose. Yeah. There's like 15 Optimus fire trucks, and there's like, you know, 7 Ratchet ambulances, and it was just, I kind of got a kick out of that, and the fact that none of them even mentioned it.
I actually found that kind of creepy, like almost, you know, like if anyone's seen, you know, movies like Videodrome or anything where it's like kind of surreal. I thought it was neat. It was almost like the whole world was kind of following them around and looking at them because it was all virtual.
Yeah, that, and it also was almost like Soundwave, you know, as it was revealed that he was the mastermind of the whole thing, it was like he was like messing with them.
Yeah.
Because not only are they human, but he's going to throw their vehicle forms like in their face at every opportunity that they could get. It's like demoralizing almost.
Yeah, he's like, hey, guess what? You aren't this car. Yeah, well, that was pretty nice. I almost wish that it had been brought up, but I would have liked it to be brought up in a kind of David Lynchian way that I don't think would have really worked for a cartoon. So I had to take my loss there. Kickback, have you got anything left you want to talk about?
Nah, I'm good.
Your Twitter conversation about animation?
No, I already brought that up in the first one.
Yeah, you're right. I was having fun watching that because it was like, the animation. It's like, what do you mean the animation? It's like, the animation! The moving pictures animation? I don't know!
It just looks stupid, I'm sorry. The important thing is he didn't disagree.
Well, he
just said, I'll have to double check that.
He did mention he liked the scene of Bumblebee running up Blitzwing to punch him, and I rewatched it, and I did agree with him, that scene looked neat. But,
yeah, it really did.
Yeah, that, like the Megatron's arm thing, and as I said before, there was one scene with Starscream and a bunch of cars at his feet, and Starscream just looked very strange and like the Korean Animation Studio. I only say Korean Animation Studio because that's the joke from G1. I don't actually know who does all the animation for animated, so I apologize if the Korean Animation Studio is actually very prestigious and does everything great, and, you know, I'll apologize to you by accepting gifts from you.
You call it the Dinobot Studio. It's for the scene they botched so badly they couldn't even show it.
Oh, yeah. I hope someday that we can see that somehow. I don't know if they said they trashed the footage or not, but if they still have it, they've got to put that on a DVD. Just like...
Oh, yeah.
By the way, this is what happens when we don't want to show you something. It looks like this.
It looks like it's out of Armada?
Yeah. Looks like it's out of the American side of Armada before the...
Oh, God.
The Japanese studios actually went back and reanimated parts of the series when they got to it. Aaron, did you have anything left?
Just one thing, as I've kind of been sitting here watching the episode muted, the wonderful changing scale with the oil nog.
Oh,
because
yes.
First you have the Soundwave toy just barely managing to look over the edge of this thing, and then Sari picking up these 55-gallon drum barrels of oil, one in each hand, handing it up to the Autobots, and then the Autobots drinking on it like it's a beer mug or something.
I think the idea was can-shaped canisters that are large on some and small on others.
Right.
They're made out of plutonium.
Plutonium?
Plutonium.
Lupus, I think you had something you said you noticed.
Yeah, I did. While doing my frame-by-frame analysis, if you look in the corner of Prime's room when he's going to sleep, you can just make out his trailer.
Ooh.
So that's where it goes in every episode.
I think also
full size trailer.
No, you see the wheels in the bottom third of it, maybe the bottom quarter.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's in scale. It's not like a.
I think this is
it's not some little backpack or anything.
Yeah,
well, but He left it outside in the episode.
It drove back. I think that's Derek.
It's like the Batmobile.
Derek mentioned at some point that he wanted to have a shot of. I don't know if he said he wanted to or if he pulled it off, but he wanted there to be a shot of Prime's room and having just this array of trailers somewhere in his room.
He also said that he wanted to put in the yellow ducky for a Beast Wars reference, but forgot it after he had the animation approved.
We all know it's really there.
That would be an interesting send back to see. No, there needs to be a yellow ducky in this frame. What? A yellow ducky?
The animation studio's like, what is wrong with you? It's like, I just want a yellow duck. They're like, no! No, there is no yellow duck. Like, why not? It's like,
crazy
another,
Americans?
Another week of work for a yellow duck. What the... I mean, we all know what it means, but yeah, that would be funny to be the guy not in the know back in somewhere in Asia where the animation's done. Like, we need you to reanimate these scenes and add a yellow duck. The guy's flipping through the script. What do you mean a yellow? I don't see anything about a yellow duck.
Yellow duck?
Yeah. So I guess that's basically our thoughts on Human Error Part 1. Really, I guess the episode is a two-parter, so a lot of the episode is kind of like, I wonder what's going to happen next week. At least in my case. So, next week we
should... At the end they had that eye change in Primus, or Prime. Oh, yeah. I couldn't help but think, oh god, they're going to make it Nemesis Prime now. Woo!
And then he has to say he's the scourge of Detroit or something like that.
Oh, I hope not. That's the last thing we need is Nemesis Prime. Nemesis Animated Prime. The last thing.
No, the
San Diego Comic Con 2010.
The worst is going to be when the evil Ratchet wakes up in part two and he's in his Rescue Ratchet colors.
I was wondering if they were going to work those in at some point, just, you know, for the hell of it. Just have Rescue Ratchet show up. It'd be his brother. But yeah, I guess we'll be back with you guys next week with our thoughts on the last half of Human Error and maybe our thoughts on the whole thing as a package. So I guess I'm just left to say, did you guys have fun? Woo! One of you had
response.
Oh, I felt lucky to be here.
I did too.
So lucky, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think the important thing to remember is that we're all in this, you know, to be the collective and to deliver our thoughts to you, the listeners. And we hope you enjoyed it. We do.
Mm-hmm. So, I know I did.
Oh, I did too. Even though, you know, distractions can come up, and you can just wonder, like, is that a knee? Is that an elbow?
I feel so sorry for the five people that aren't here, or for everybody but the five people that are here. That,
well, look, all you guys got to remember, right? About. You got to give a dog a bone, wonder if, you know, she's just in the doorway doing her stuff. Or is it extra white because there's a pad involved? So, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Vangelis, and that was Aaron, Kickback, Gog Dog, Lupus Convoy, and Omegas Prime with a Transformers Animated Discussion on Human Error Part 1. We love you all. And that resounding silence is an agreement, I promise. Bye-bye!
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I actually waved at the monitor when I did that.
Dude, seek help.
I don't think there's anyone certified enough to give him help.
You'd be fine as long as you dressed up as Omega's Dream.
Oh, that's
listen.
It's like one of my dreams with the bug people. Go to the bed and make a scream in the nurse's house. Ah. God. I should stop recording.
Add all that up. I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.